Sebastian Lindstrom doesn't hide what he is. "I'm the villain of this story," he declares without apology. From the moment he spots Camille Briarlane across a crowded ballroom, something awakens in this self-described psychopath, a man who has spent his life mimicking emotions he doesn't feel. Their first dance becomes an interrogation disguised as flirtation, his fingers pressing possessively into her lower back as he extracts her dreams and desires. When she mentions her passion for photographing rare Amazon orchids, Sebastian experiences an unfamiliar euphoria. For a man who typically feels nothing, this sudden awakening becomes an obsession. As Camille turns back with a hesitant smile before leaving with her boyfriend, Sebastian's determination solidifies. She is his, even if he has to destroy everything to possess her. What makes this encounter so compelling isn't romance, but danger. Instead of a meet-cute, we get a meet-threat, layered with psychological complexity. Sebastian's immediate possessiveness would be alarming in reality, yet the forbidden chemistry creates a tension that's simultaneously horrifying and intriguing. His clinical observation of her every movement, combined with his unprecedented emotional response, sets up the complex psychological chess game about to unfold between predator and prey. How do you capture someone's heart? For Sebastian, the answer is simple. First, capture their body. He infiltrates Camille's life methodically, studying her under the guise of a donor. When she mentions wanting to join an Amazon expedition, he creates her perfect trap, a fake expedition with forged documents and his butler posing as Dr. Williams. Sebastian's predatory brilliance shows in his meticulous attention to detail. He learns her favorite foods, pajama preferences, and even obtains her Brooklyn cheesecake recipe. He builds an elaborate greenhouse filled with plants from her classroom and Amazon varieties, creating a gilded cage specifically for her. When Camille enters the limo expecting the airport, her excitement turns to horror finding Sebastian inside. Despite her fierce struggle, he subdues her with a drugged cloth, experiencing perhaps his first genuine emotion, blurring love and obsession. Most unsettling is how Sebastian's wealth facilitates his crimes. Money buys staff loyalty, privacy, and resources to create his perfect prison, a stark reminder of how privilege enables predatory behavior beyond consequences. Camille awakens naked in Sebastian's bed, confined to his estate without communication or escape means. The tracking anklet symbolizes her captivity, while Sebastian controls her clothing, movements, and interactions, with his indifferent staff ignoring her predicament. His domination combines physical restrictions with psychological manipulation. He darkens her blonde hair to prevent identification and mandates her nakedness at night, while balancing these controls with calculated rewards for compliance, like access to the greenhouse or rare botanical texts. Their relationship functions through deals, trading kisses for books, compliance for privileges, forcing her participation in her own captivity. His statement that the greenhouse is a reward for good behavior epitomizes their power dynamic. Camille shifts from outright rebellion to a more complex position as her physical responses create self-loathing. Yet she maintains her agency. Even as attraction develops, her compliance becomes strategic as she continues plotting escape. Sebastian's psychological evolution anchors this dark tale. As a high-functioning psychopath, he's never experienced normal emotions, having learned to interpret facial expressions mechanically since childhood. With Camille, Sebastian encounters unfamiliar sensations: jealousy when her boyfriend touches her, euphoria at her smile, and persistent heartburn when they're apart. These physical manifestations of emotion both confuse and fascinate him. "When she cries, when she laughs, I feel it in here," he tells his father, tapping his chest. This emotional awakening creates vulnerability in a man accustomed to complete control. When Camille attempts escape, he feels hurt alongside anger. His possessiveness evolves from wanting to own her to needing her emotional reciprocation, marking significant growth. Sebastian's father becomes an unexpected moral compass, advising, "You'll never have her until you set her free." This challenges Sebastian, as the concept that genuine love requires voluntary participation remains foreign to him. Upon release, Camille's return to freedom brings unexpected turmoil. In her cottage, she finds herself haunted by thoughts of Sebastian. Their intimate moments replay vividly, while her boyfriend Link's touch no longer ignites desire, filling her with guilt. The psychological aftermath of captivity unfolds with surprising depth. Rather than depicting liberation as a simple happy ending, we witness Camille's transformation. When Link proposes, she hesitates, confronting previously denied aspects of herself, her attraction to darkness, capacity for passion, and unconventional desires. Sebastian sends rare orchids with a heart-wrenching letter acknowledging he's the bad guy while confessing his devotion. His father establishes a trust fund for her without conditions. These gestures of care without control create space for authentic connection. When they meet again, their chemistry remains undeniable. Sebastian tells her he loves her, words he's never spoken before. Though Camille feels it too, she insists on maintaining her independence. Their relationship has fundamentally changed. She will no longer be possessed, but might choose to stay. When Link discovers Camille with Sebastian, his good guy facade shatters as he violently attacks her, threatening to expose Sebastian if reported. This reversal confirms Sebastian's assessment that Link was wrong for Camille, not because Sebastian deserved her more, but because Link's persona concealed toxic masculinity. It gives Sebastian a chance to demonstrate growth by protecting Camille without claiming ownership. When Sebastian fights Link, Camille stops him from going too far, revealing their evolution. Sebastian uses violence protectively rather than possessively, while Camille exercises her agency. She tells him, "You're not the bad guy after all, but the hero of my story." This challenges binary thinking about good and evil, showing that moral character comes from actions and growth, not labels. Link's fall reveals how abuse can hide behind acceptable facades, while Sebastian, who never pretended to be anything but dangerous, proves capable of genuine love and respect. The story concludes in the Amazon rainforest, with Camille's dream realized on her terms. She collects plant samples while Sebastian follows, their playful banter about who saved whom reflecting their balanced relationship. Camille has established a field school using the trust funds, fulfilling her ambitions while preserving her identity. Their relationship has evolved from captor-captive to complementary partners. Sebastian's wealth now supports rather than restricts her freedom. News of her pregnancy moves him to tears, though he worries about passing on his nature. Her reassurance that their child will be perfect shows her acceptance of his complete self. The ending's power lies in showing how agency can be reclaimed. Camille's journey from having choices stripped away to making decisions on her terms forms the story's emotional core. The pivotal moment comes when Sebastian releases her, returning the choice he previously denied. Are we meant to forgive Sebastian? Perhaps not entirely, but in witnessing his capacity for change and Camille's reclamation of power, we're reminded that even in darkness, we can find our way back to choice, and sometimes that's where authentic connections begin.